It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are taking your phone calls, as always, at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight in the world of sports, heading towards what amounts to a football weekend with NFL preseason. IU will apparently scrimmage this weekend. No word if that'll be open, but you kind of doubt it. But also the start of high school football is this Friday night. We'll have it live for you here on WGCL starting at 6:30 with a big matchup on the north side. Columbus East coming to town to face Scott Bless's troops and see what they can do in this 2015 season, coming off some strong performances last year from South and Edgewood, certainly in the 2014 season. But a lot to talk about tonight. Kevin Wilson had his weekly press conference this week, and they also showed off a little virtual reality demonstration, talked a little bit about that. So I got the chance to go over there for that, and we'll talk about it, what it looks like, what they might use it for, and some challenges, though, still that come along with it. But Glass, before we get too far, look back again at this past weekend. You and I haven't had a chance to talk about it together here, about a couple different things that happened this past weekend. We'll start with the local angle, and that will be the Colts at Philadelphia. Got the chance to go through the tape, and nothing pretty, really, from the Colts' standpoint. Looking at it, I'm not going to make any kind of big deal out of any preseason game, simply because you don't go in with a lot of strategy. You don't go in necessarily looking to beat the other team's game plan and strategy and the way they play and all those sorts of things. But certainly I come out of there disappointed with the fact that there wasn't a whole heck of a lot that they looked like they could do right. Some bad tackling, which has been a problem of theirs, not really able to stop much in the way of the running game, which has been a problem of theirs, inability to run the football themselves, which is a problem of theirs. And then on top of that, you get a punt return on a missed tackle going the other direction. Again, don't want to make a big deal out of that, but there just wasn't a whole heck of a lot to like.
No, and there rarely is. And we saw in the Peyton Manning era, what was their record in the preseason? 2-97?
It wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't. And I think that's the grain of salt you take it with. And when you looked at the Colts and you heard what they talked about, they wanted to see guys that were in the maybe so, maybe not category, see if they could take the good things they were doing to the practice field and take it to game situations. Because let's be fair, you know what the other guy's doing to you in practice. You know the plays are going to run. You know everything else. It's a little bit different when you have referees all the time. It's live. It quote-unquote counts. And the thing that stepped off the page for me is Philip Dorsett made plays. He made a smart, fair catch. He came back to the ball. He held the ball. When he had chances, he took them. So that's very positive. Guys like Daron Carter drop balls.
Well, he caught him. He did get bounced from behind and fumble the ball, but he did catch the ball.
He had one on the sideline going over the middle that he didn't get his hands on. Kobe Fleener always drops him, so you know that's official.
That's nothing new.
Football has started with all of that. But when you look at what the Colts are trying to do, they're not going to show you anything. They're playing undrafted guys on the line in the third quarter. I mean, of course you're not going to run the ball. Of course you're not going to make a play. These are guys that are battling for, I don't even know what, practice squad jobs? Because they're not going to be in the 2D.
They've got to make some decisions on the roster here. Certainly, you're looking
at undrafted
fourth, fifth,
guys,
sixth guys
holding penalties. You got guys jumping in the pile.
Sure.
Kerr making dumb plays.
Right,
you got
right.
Greg Toler looked like he never played football before.
Well, he's
when
a
he gets
starter.
Beat on that. Well,
that's
exactly
a problem.
Right. But then that was a play that he makes two great pass breakups before that, and then they go back to him. He jumps around. He's right there. All he has to do is tackle the guy, and he throws his hands up like,
"Whoops! I can't, what happened?
Is that Andrew Luck in the pattern with the red shirt on? I'm not allowed to touch him." So the Colts, again, a lot of teams, if Luck would have ran him down the field in four plays and scored a touchdown, and Zerlon Tipton would have had six of those carries for 56 yards instead of 26 yards.
I'd be happy.
Well, you would be, but it wouldn't change anything, and I think that's the key. Did anybody get hurt? No.
No.
You know what? There's three columns in preseason. Yeah. Win, loss, and injury. And they
and Colts, that's the biggest
Colts
one.
Are undefeated in the injury column, and that's fine
well,
with me.
Well, here's a weird thing coming out of that, though. And I
Pat,
mentioned,
oh, and Pat McAfee, he should get 10 gold stars because he had more punts in that game than he will in the first 10 games of the season.
Well, and he didn't do something stupid and try to tackle a guy in a 92-yard punt return.
Why would he do that?
Might as well let him have it.
No,
what was interesting to me about
career.
That, I talked about the running game and the lack thereof. watching the game, it seemed to me as though they're lining up in a lot of tight formations, a lot of bunch formations, trying to get some running game going, and yet were completely unable to do that in those formations. They might not have come into that game looking to play against Philadelphia per se.
I think that's more of the angle,
and that's where you get the defense struggling against the unusual Philadelphia offense. I get that.
Yep. You're not going to see that every week.
But if you come out, certainly you go into that game with some kind of goal, and the goal is to either figure out if you can do something or to try to do something that you'd like to do during the regular season. No, you're not going to give up every blitz package and every hot receiver look and all those sorts of things. It's going to be somewhat conservative, but you walk into that game and you start with a lot of tight formations, two tight ends, bringing the wide receivers in, all those sorts of things, a fullback to start the first drive, and you still can't run the ball. Mm-hmm. That's the problem that I think the one thing that truly bugs me about it is the appearance of attempting to run the ball and the complete inability to do it when you're trying to.
Yep, and part of that too is the running back, and I will put some of that on Zerlon Tipton, to be fair. If he was released today, he wouldn't be getting 4.5 yards of carry behind most lines. He's a nice player. He plays hard. He gives you everything
on
special.
That's fine. I'm not sure how much more teams. Frank Gore can get out of there when he's getting hit in the backfield a yard or two.
Exactly. And if the line's bowled over, the line's bowled over. And that's been an ongoing thing. But I don't think there's been anybody the Colts have brought in where you said that's going to stop. Harriman's is a nice veteran guy. He's a veteran player.
And he looks slow.
And how old? 30 what?
33.
Well, yeah.
As a guard, yeah. I mean, he had a couple plays he had trouble getting out to the linebacker. Linebacker's already by him. Again, that's a problem if you're in that spot.
And, again, new right tackle is Muhort. Yeah. Is he a better pass blocker? Is he a better run blocker?
They did pass
steady?
Blocking.
Yeah, it looked like Luck had plenty of time. He's running around, taking his time, looking for stuff. Mm-hmm. And he only played about, 10 plays? Subbed him in the middle of a drive. How often do you see that? Never happens. That's kind of strange. But again, when you look at what the Colts are going to try to do in the long run, they'd love to get every third and four by running it. That would be great. But I think to have the playbook completely open with the weapons they have on the outside, the weapons they have at tight end, and Frank Gore in that position, I think that's going to give some different looks where the Eagles can't key on, hey, it looks like they're going to load up and run, and the Colts did load up and run. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're not in there to show them formations where they're going to throw out of and give them anything or anybody any
tape.
No,
I knew they weren't going to be
down the road. Yeah, but I surprised the Colts line didn't line up and blow people off the ball? No, because they haven't since I can't tell you the last time they did that. So no, I'm not surprised about that at all because the Colts win football games. When do they win football games? When they have balance. It's not about doing it one way. When Luck throws 48 passes, they never win.
It's hard to have balance if you can't run the ball.
Right, and it's hard to be, again, taking this first game of the preseason. If you're not impressed with the line, I that's fine. I have no problem with that. If it's week 8 and the Colts are averaging 62 yards a carry or 62 yards on the ground and Luck's getting destroyed week in and week out, I think that's going to be where the rubber meets the road. And the good news is with the Colts, they're going to be running the ball a lot when they're probably ahead 21-3 and 21-10 and 24-10 because that offense is a big shot offense. They've got speed merchants. They've got guys, Andre Johnson, again, just being Andre Johnson, go do your work, son. They can break games open. They've got special teams. You have nothing to worry about in that side of things with Dean Biasucci and Ron Stark. You don't have anything to worry about with those guys over there. So not a bad start. And, again, how many turnovers did they have? Yeah. Well, you get quarterback. Who's who? Bennett? Who's Bennett?
Well, look,
they're getting blown up.
You don't get concerned Ron about Carr's fumbles by your young guys until it becomes a habit. Mm-hmm. And, it started to become a habit for Boom Heron late in the season.
Right.
I'm not going to say it's a habit for Phil Dorsett yet. No, he didn't. He wasn't dressed.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Neither he or Vontae Davis didn't play. T.Y. Hilton wasn't even in the building. Frank Gore didn't play. I mean, a number of people didn't play. We'll see about Phil Dorsett. I mean, you got to keep an eye on that. We'll see if that becomes an issue. He did look sure on his catches on punts. So that's something
that's field
our
position,
return game hasn't been anything great in several years. Exactly, so it'd be nice to get something out of that.
Josh Cribbs was the one man.
Yeah.
Hold your breath.
Music means we got to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number. Moving over to the local football team, the IU Hoosiers. Kevin Wilson held a press conference today, but before that, Fred Glass had the folks over and did a little display along with Jeremy Gray and some of the other folks over there with IU Athletics.
The people who have been trained on the machine.
That's right. The many machines, the virtual reality machine. But there's also some notes that came out of the press conference with Kevin Wilson. But before we go into those notes, I will tell you, I happened to get a very brief demonstration of the virtual reality software and hardware, because it involves a goggles you have to don, but interesting, very, very interesting. And immediately in looking at what you see, you start to go through all the potential uses. The way they described this this equipment is that there is essentially a sphere that someone has. I would say you put it on your head, but that's not exactly the application, although you could kind of point to it that way. But I think it's on the end of a stick, whatever you want to call it. They didn't show us that piece of equipment, but it has several cameras that come with it. And this is just one part of the 3D virtual reality software and hardware that'll be used eventually. But the idea being here, that one of the examples was, it is literally held right next to Nate Sudfeld in the shotgun formation for what amounted to just one play, inside handoff. And what you saw from there is effectively a quarterback perspective of the play in practice. Now, of course, you look down the line here. I mean, you can't have this perspective of your opponent unless your opponent's doing it and giving it to you also. But you could see using this kind of thing for a quarterback's perspective or anyone's perspective when it comes to what a look is going to look like when you get a scout team that's going to show you what that team is looking like. My immediate thought was linebackers and safeties. These are guys who are reading the interior of the offensive line to make determinations. Is it a run? Is it a pass? Where's the ball going? Linebacker has been told for forever to watch the guard in front of you. What's he do, and follow him or do whatever off of him as your top key. Safety, same kind of thing. Nowadays with these run, these offenses, much like they have been forever, you've got to pay attention to what's going on that offensive line to know if it's a run or a pass. Determine if you're going to stay 15 yards, 20 yards deep, or if you're going to come up and hammer somebody in the head. So for me, it's an interesting view because you really do get the bird's eye view. You get the player type view potentially of this. Now, Kevin Wilson talked later and about
it
himself.
Obviously, you're watching this not in real time. You're watching it from a film.
Correct. It's videotape. I mean, that's what it is. And what was interesting about it too is hearing Kevin Wilson talk about it later. And he said, well, it's some neat stuff. There's a lot of applications you could use for it. He talked about blitz pickups from a running back standpoint. He talked about defensive end and looking at a zone read and what you're going to see and what decisions to make and all this sort of thing. He said it is a little closed in its view. A player has peripheral vision when they're playing live, but in this, it's a little bit more closed, so you kind of have to stop the frame and be able to look around with that stopped frame so you can show them what's happening in frames as opposed to all live, because you lose that peripheral vision. The other thing he said, though, that was the most interesting for right now, right here today, is that it takes 8 hours to stitch together one play recorded together.
Yeah, so that's basically
in one view, and that's what they had for us, was one play.
It's not a waste of time. They're trying to figure out how to manipulate
that.
How to
not waste the time.
And, well, to get to the point a little bit quicker without having to go through.
Well, yeah, and the point was, I can have you do 10 plays, and you can spend all week doing it, and I might not use 10, 8 of them,
right.
And then we've wasted our time on those 8.
That's right.
We got to find exactly what you want to do with
it. And just like anything else that's new, once they use it a few thousand times, they'll figure out the shortcuts, the ways that it does work for them, and they won't have to do this and that. And I don't know did you see on the board on the way out or on the door, it said wanted now 2,862 volunteer assistant coaches
yes,
to put this all together.
Exactly right.
Is that up there?
Alabama has made a mass hiring for this kind of technology already, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, you get a spot at the spring game. That's what Alabama gives you.
Yeah.
One of the 92,000 people at the spring
game. But it was interesting to see. I mean, this is the videos that they had for us were 3D. I mean, there was videos of Showalter Fountain, and you could literally turn 360 degrees and see everything in that view from starting with Showalter Fountain to everything around it. You know, a couple different things. Sample gates. I could look right down Kirkwood the other direction. So, I mean, it was pretty neat. And this had absolutely nothing to do yet with putting the cameras in place to get 3D and complete all around 360 degree views of replays
this
and things like that.
This isn't the final product. They call this a teaser.
Exactly.
So people, when they have these press conferences, the press and everybody else doesn't sit there and go, I don't know what he's talking about.
What does he mean?
Well,
by
now you
that?
Can see it. You can at least be hands on. And like you said, it's not the finished item right now, but it gives them, at some point, will give them an advantage. How they choose to use it is down the road.
It's neat technology.
It's not going anywhere. That's the other thing. Michigan's touting their 3D-ness up there, and obviously probably started at Stanford at some Palo Alto
exactly,
at some
Cal,
point.
Right.
So it's better to be first than last than trying to figure all of this stuff out. But once you figure out how to hone the beast and train the beast will be much more benevolent in what you're trying to do to get forward. But my favorite part, we talk off the air about this, Kevin Wilson said, you got to win football games.
The guy asked specifically, hey, you know, has this done anything for you recruiting? And he says, still you got to win games a lot more.
Exactly right. And the other part was, it was funny because he made fun of the journalist and he said, yeah, you guys fall asleep 15, 20 minutes when we do these talks on the road. What do you think these kids do in film sessions?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We're looking of ways to engage them. And I think without saying it, he said this, we're looking for a way to speak their language without sounding like speaking their language. We want to be guys that can communicate. That's what's going to help in recruiting. He didn't come out and say that. But if you speak that language, you get it, and you're on the same page without having to make a big, hey, could you tweet me, dog?
I mean, again, the view from, you know, from any one person or player's perspective of what a look is like coming at them is completely different from what kids are used to seeing when it comes to film prep. And that, to me, is interesting. They did talk, again, the replay is one of those things that's always been talked about. They did say, Fred Glass said that Assembly Hall would be wired for the season. There are challenges with Assembly Hall because of the South End Zone. It's not closed, so there's not spots right now. They'd have to figure out a way to get cameras over there to complete the 3D-ness of it.
Well, you can't have 3D without all three.
Well, exactly. You got to get all the way
and
around.
There's a few more than three that you need to make this work. But again, being on the cutting edge of it, what it does, it also buys you recruiting in the sense that you're on the front pages without something that two dudes busted for pot, this guy in a car wreck, this guy, or whatever it is. I mean, it happens at a lot of places. Somebody printed out one of those things today, showed you all the arrests at all the major college programs. It happens. It's not like it doesn't happen. But this is something that the alumni gets excited about. This is something that recruits get excited about. Maybe the alumni doesn't get excited about chrome helmets like recruits do, but this is something that encompasses everything because of how cool it is, and that will never hurt. They're not going to come out and say the reason we did this was for PR. It's not, but the collateral damage or the unintended consequences is people are going to talk about this, and Michigan – just a few weeks after Cuban's gift, they're touting about, hey, we got it. Well, if it's not a big deal, they wouldn't be talking about how they had it. So you're in the game. And Indiana football for years might not have been in the game with facilities, stadium, grass,
turf,
locker rooms, crowd, tailgate,
nor do they have Mark Cuban involved.
Scoreboard,
so that's nice
wireless
to keep around.
In the building. We can rattle off about 20 more things if you want. But now you get a seat at the table because you're first.
Yep.
Doesn't mean you do it the best. Doesn't mean that your system's going to be better than Michigan's system or whoever's system, but you're in the game. So when somebody that you're looking at asks the guys at fill in your school, hey man, I heard IU's got this cool 3D stuff. You on that? No, we don't have it. Okay.
I don't know if it matters, but it's nice to have.
You're not an 18-year-old, 16-year-old, 15-year-old, 14-year-old kid, and that's the part of it that isn't going to be the deal breaker, but it does show ahead of the curve. Again, Bloomington's not a massive city. There's not a huge airport here. Not a lot of clubs, not a lot of things going on. You got to have those things otherwise. And to be fair, and this is going to sound awful, but it's true. I'll get the record book out if you don't believe me. Haven't had a lot of football stuff to talk about, so you got to have something else to talk about.
Well,
the North End Zone, South End Zone.
I think you put it best a couple minutes ago, though. The facilities at Indiana University have always been behind their competitors, always. I mean, there was a time not that long ago when it was behind some MAC schools. Not all of them, but some of them.
Sure.
You know, so to get where they're getting to and to have it involve, you know, the technology that goes along with the entire thing, it's extremely important. And I would not put any, I wouldn't discount the fact that having Mark Cuban involved at all and wanting him to be involved for a long time, and now kind of getting him involved and making sure he stays intrigued and involved is going to be extremely important for them also.
And Fred Glass put a bow on it quite simply. The money, nah. The technology, the inside of the inside scoop being first in the technology is way more important than any gift and of money, because the technology doesn't stop. Money does.
Well,
money
goes out. He said Mark Cuban's accessibility right now and where he gets IU into now to do things like this has been easily as valuable, if not more so, than the gift itself. Again, having him involved, having him around, having the technology and being on the cutting edge of it is a big deal, and it will be a bigger deal down the line. And it'll be fun to see how they use it, because I tell you, it was interesting today, and you can see a lot of practical applications once you kind of hone down the production time.
Yep. Well, I screwed up our new system here. I apologize in advance. Let me just talk for another 20 seconds, and I'll get it fixed.
While you do that, we do have some notes that came out of Kevin Wilson's press conference today. This has nothing to do with the technology, but some interesting notes that that came out of that. If you've been around all day today, may have checked out Twitter and seen a couple of those. One in particular, it's got a local angle here. Ty Smith, former running back over at Bloomington North High School. Of course, his father, Tracy Smith, was the baseball coach here, now out at Arizona State. He graduated North and went on as a walk-on to IU playing at safety. He's got a neck issue, and they're not 100% sure what it is, but it sounds like it's whatever the recent issue was, discovered a longer-term issue from his past that may, and I'll stress may here because there is nothing really definitive, but it may cost him a football career, and he may need to go back to or over to the sideline to find a coaching position or something to that effect. There's more to come on that. I don't have it now. We'll find out more later, but that was the one kind of announcement with a local angle that came out of today's press conference. Is Ty Smith may very well have to give up his football career, playing career over there. And I know locally some folks be interested in that. How are we doing on the system over there?
Give me about 20 more seconds.
I will. The other note that came out today, and this was not announced at the press conference, but you mentioned earlier, Glass, not wanting to talk about guys in legal trouble. Well, Antonio Allen kicked off the team earlier this year for some significant legal trouble right here in Bloomington. No information as to how that's going exactly at this moment in time, but it did come out today that Indiana State has accepted Antonio Allen as a transfer. He will redshirt this year and hope to be on the field in the future. I'm not sure how that goes when you're up at Pendleton, if that's where he ends up, but it's an interesting move.
There we go. We fixed
for
it.
For Indiana State to want to take him on. And a very interesting comment from Kevin Wilson, as you would expect. They take some fatherly figures. Sometimes coaches do. He says he wants the kid to not give up himself and deal with his situations and see what he can get out of it. So it was an interesting take from Kevin Wilson that he would encourage him to continue to try to have a football career if at all possible. All right. Well, that music means we got to take off. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. I promise this is not a recording. We are not starting from the beginning.
No.
We'll keep going forward. Much like the virtual reality technology, we have a new system here. And getting it to work right, I work in software, folks. Software never works right when you roll it out the first time. And sometimes it takes months to get it all right. We'll figure it all out eventually. 333-2665 is our phone number. Again, plenty to talk about tonight. I wanted to get back to the situation there and Kevin Wilson's comment about Antonio Allen, because Antonio, of course, he got himself in a situation. I'm not going to try to make it sound like he's not done something he seems to have done, at least. I don't have the proof on that, but the police say they do.
The probable cause affidavit is strong.
Yeah,
this one.
Exactly. But what intrigues me about it, and what I'd like kind of people to look at for a few minutes, is the coach's response. I was a little surprised he got the question today. The news just came out literally, you know, during the first press conference, really, that Antonio Allen was being accepted to go to Indiana State and redshirt this year and potentially play down the line. Again, obviously the legal issues are going to have something to say about that. But the person asked Coach Wilson, did you talk to Indiana State? Did you talk to him? What did you say about all this? He said, well, we talked and told Indiana State, you know, what have you done academically? What have you done on the football, on the football field and off, and what we thought of him? And then, of course, what happened otherwise, he said, and that was really the extent of it. It's really kind of their deal at that point in time. He said he holds no ill will towards them or Antonio Allen. But what the interesting part is, he said to Antonio Allen, you had to go through a lot to get to the point where you could attend Indiana University to play football. You've got this now in front of you to deal with. He said, but don't give up just because of that. And I think a lot of people would say, why don't you not talk to the guy at all? Why don't you divorce yourself completely from this person who has done this? And the point there, and you know, Coach Tom Crean has gotten a lot of flack, somewhat deservedly, for similar type of situations. But I think the point there is, when coaches go and recruit these kids, you know, they take on a relationship. They don't just take on an employer view. And I think a lot of fans see it as, you're bringing in an employee. The employee screws up, you fire the employee, and you don't talk to them again.
It's not professional sports.
It's exactly right. It is a different arrangement. And with some of these kids, maybe they have a father and mother figure. Maybe they don't. The coaches take on a secondary role in that, and in some cases a primary role in that, more so than I think a lot of people realize. And I think people need to remember that when it comes to these sorts of situations.
Sure.
It didn't take long to kick him off the team, and he should have been. I don't think there's any question about that. But that doesn't mean you completely bail on the kid in life.
And the cynic will also say, hey, there might be some other good players out of Ben Davis, and you don't want word getting back there that Wilson's this dictator that won't even give you a half a second chance. I mean,
I guess that's a way to... What? To spin it too.
Whether you like it or not doesn't matter. That's what people say. Hey, you don't want to get your. There's been some coaches around here who haven't done well in Indianapolis recruiting for a multitude of reasons. So yeah, being a little human being, you should be. That doesn't mean that you've condoned the action or think it's a good deal or you'd put them back on the team. It doesn't matter. They're still human beings. We all make bad decisions. None of us are perfect. Good gosh. But that's the other thing. And whether you want to hear it or not, like Dave said, he was like, eh, that's one way to spin it. It's true. If you get your name in circles and places and it's not favorable, Indiana has struggled to get kids. They've done a good job recently of getting kids from Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Why? They've worked hard and they've done hard and they've done the things to get the kids out of there. And you say, well, geez, what do you care? Allen's family's a bunch of drug dealers. Well, of course they are, because that's what you read and know, and it's 100%
says, right.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
But that doesn't mean that coaches talk and friends of friends talk and things talk. And those are things in today's real world, and that's kind of maybe the dirty world of recruiting you don't want to hear about, but it happens. Mm-hmm. Guys get branded one thing or another, correctly or incorrectly, then they got to fight with that. So, yeah, I think the easiest thing in this whole deal was being human about it. And this will be the last time you hear Antonio Allen's words mentioned at a press conference at Indiana University, by the way. We'll just let you in on that clue as well, because that's something you don't need to keep bringing up up.
And, of course, he wasn't brought up by Indiana.
That's what. It happened today, and that's the other interesting thing. Whatever comes out of the legal system from this, he is no longer affiliated with the university, and that's what's going to happen. And if Coach Wilson wants to talk about him on his own volition, he's more than welcome to. And that has nothing to do with IU football, folks, in my opinion.
No, IU moves on. Not really anything earth-shattering otherwise. It came out of the press conference. They are going to scrimmage, do some sort of scrimmage this week, and try to treat next week in a similar vein to a game. And I should back up there for a second. They're going to treat next week, the beginning of school, like a game week as much as you can, and scrimmage at the end of it. They weren't sure exactly how they would scrimmage.
Well, we got the extra week this year. That's why.
Exactly. He said, but he liked the idea and the fact that they had this kind of extra week where they could kind of get into the flow, if you will, and go through a game week without having a game. So it's kind of like a practice for a lot of guys.
This week they've had Big Ten officials in for 2 days. They've ran 60 plays here and there to give the officials the work, to give the kids some work at full speed where, hey, if you've been cutting corners, now you got the black and white stripes there to pay attention to that. So it's just the next step in the program as you ramp up until Saturday, 5 September, as Southern Illinois comes down, 4 o'clock, ESPN News. So you get in the habits, hopefully that forms some good habits, Dave, and hopefully get a minimum of 6 wins this year, because that's what it takes to go bowling.
And speaking of games coming up, we will have the Colts preseason game against the Bears this Saturday. 6:30 is pregame for that. And going into game two, Glass, you got to get a little bit more time, I would think, out of the guys that you want to see. I mean, there's a couple position spots here that are still up for grabs.
There are.
They may tell you that they've got a pretty good idea who a lot of them are, and I would agree with that. But, is the offensive line set? I wouldn't think so. Running back, obviously, I think you know what you're going to do there. Wide receiver, you've got so many options to play with. You don't need to solve that. You need to just play with the options there. But you've got some spots, certainly in the defensive side of things, where you want to mess around with this. And interestingly, they're going to be practicing against the Bears here for a couple days, sure. Started today. So they might be real salty by the time they play on Saturday.
Well, at least the third teamers will be salty because they'll be taking 80% of the snaps. And you hope for their fans who spend their hard-earned money to go to these games, they get a little bit more from Andrew Luck, maybe a couple, three series than a series and a half, especially at home, especially when it's on your field and you're comfortable in that situation. So we'll see what's going on with that. So Stephen Holder from the Indianapolis Star, a pretty uneventful practice between the Colts and Bears today. Not even a single push or shove that he noticed.
What?
Well, it's Wednesday. Dave's point is right. They'll be sick of each other a little bit later in the week. So there you go. Not too much to report out of Colts camp. And the only good news about that has been the injury problems. The one injury problem you saw, what's that cornerback's name? I can't say his first name.
Smith,
Dejuan. Dejuan.
Dejuan, I don't know.
Is it a concussion problem? Did I see that? Did I hear that?
That sounds right. Don't quote me on that. But, that sounds right. He was, I think, the only one that I remember that they said came out of that with an issue.
And if that is the problem, they could always, again, with after watching Greg Toler, you might want a little help back there. But cornerbacks are a dime a dozen in the league. If they pop on and hang on, sure. But you go through a few of those as well. So I was trying to find an injury report on that. Didn't see it, but I thought I heard that during the game. So maybe that wasn't the official diagnosis, but you never know. So that's what you see on Saturday. Again, guys fighting for roster positions. Guys doing little things right, and you hope the Colts can figure out a way to keep the line moving in a positive direction. I don't know where that switch is going to flip. Would you like to have a healthy Chehalis at right tackle and Mewhart at guard like they planned a year ago?
Yes.
Yeah. You'd like to. Well, that didn't happen. And whatever Chehalis,
he's been picked up by the Buccaneers, by the way.
And we'll see how many games he plays and everything else on that.
So they had an injury.
They've got injury problems on that. So there wasn't a sign of the puzzle to solve it. Harriman's at guard. That's your other situation. 33 years of age. Again, that's not a long-term project, Dave, or a long-term fix. So there's two ways to do it. Spend a ton of money or get up in the draft.
Yeah.
That's about the only two ways to see how that works.
The other football note, of course, is this Friday night we kick off our high school
year 66
football program once again with a big game. Columbus East coming to town to face Bloomington North Cougars. A lot of changes on the Cougars side of the ball, starting with the quarterback, but a lot of folks back on the offensive line and on the defense. We will see how the Cougars do, and you'll get a view of them real quickly because, again, a good Columbus East team coming back, although their running back is now at Purdue, so I think we're all thankful about that.
Yeah, just hope his backup
isn't that good. This guy was a good one.
Well, yeah, exactly right.
But again, 6:30 on Friday night, we'll have that for you. 6:30 on Saturday, we'll have pregame for Colts and Bears. And in the meantime, we got Reds baseball tonight and tomorrow, 7:00 for both of those. Kansas City in town tonight. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Before we went too much farther, you and I have not had much of a chance to talk about the fourth major of the year and Jason Day. I know you're a big fan of Jason Day.
Absolutely.
I like him.
Great player.
Good looking kid, nice player, but finally able to break through. I mean, a ton of talent. Nice to see him get it before, you talk about getting to 38 or something like that.
Sure.
And having to talk about the best to never kind of thing.
Don't forget, it took Phil to 34. Yep. I can't even remember how old Phil was when he won the 2010 Masters.
34.
Jason Day, the only person in history to lead after 54 holes at the U.S. Open in British Open consecutive tournaments and not win. That shows you how good he was playing. And he had some problems health-wise, and he has for the last 4 or 5 years. He had some thumb issues. He had some ankle problems. It's always around the majors, too. And he's finally gotten healthy. He had vertigo, which was widely publicized and talked about at the U.S. Open. He had some viral infections. They finally got cleared up. And when he is fit, and he has proven that, even when he wasn't fit at the U.S. Open, he was still the 54-hole leader. Guy's crawling on the 18th green. Yeah. Has to come and play the next day. They can't tell what's wrong with him.
The first day.
My goodness. When he's healthy, he's really, really good. And he should be in that conversation. And the only way you get in that conversation, again, it's not your caddy. It's not what kind of cool hair you got or fancy hats or how many fans you got on Instagram. It's whether you play well. And the interesting angle that I saw in all of this, if you remember in 2013, Hunter Mahan played in a couple final groups in the majors and was T20 or better in all four of those. Last year, Ricky Fowler, first guy in however many years besides Woods to be in the top five in all four majors. But what do those two guys have in common?
They
didn't close the deal.
Right.
And you know, where's Ricky Fowler been in the majors this year?
Not as good.
You ever heard of Hunter Mahan this year?
No, not at all.
Well, he had nice run in the Masters. I think it was T9, had a good weekend there, and then was awful, awful, awful in the last three of them. He was decent at the PGA. But the point is, you don't know when you're going to get back to that level of golf, and you don't know whether your game is going to carry year to year, because unless your last name is Woods McIlroy or your 22-year-old named Jordan Spieth. Mm-hmm. So Day has given these flashes of brilliance. Day, before last week, had played in 20 majors. He'd finished in the top 10 nine times. He was second to McIlroy at Congressional at the U.S. Open in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
He was 8-under. It would have won 87 of the last opens, 88 right. Opens.
He's able to get beat by eight shots.
And he was beaten by eight shots.
Yeah.
But he was second at the Masters. He was in the mix on Sunday in the Masters and couldn't close the deal out. So he's been there. He's developed a little bit of that scar tissue. But what he has done that Dustin Johnson hasn't done, what Ricky Fowler hasn't done, what Hunter Mahan hasn't done, what took Phil forever. How many second places at the U.S. Open did Phil have before he finally won a major?
Right.
So the guys that are in that conversation a lot often. Now, Ricky Fowler might do this over the next 2 or 3 years. He's only 26 or 27, same day as ages. Day's been doing this since. He won at 17 on the web.com. Mm. He won at 20 on the PGA Tour in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he knows. He, there's no question about his talent. It's always been a health issue. But until you close that deal, you're right. You haven't closed that deal.
Well, in golf, it's been a health issue for him, and it is for some guys. But it is the pressure. I mean, it comes down to, I joke about it all the time, the guys barfing on their shoes down the stretch. It's not that he's necessarily done that in those, but he's been in some good positions and never been able to close a deal.
Exactly.
And a good, seems like a great guy.
He is a great guy.
Comes from through a difficult.
His backstory is unbelievable.
Difficult backstory.
His father died when he was young.
To see him come through it is amazing.
He was a terrible child by his own admission. He drank too much as a 13 or 14-year-old. His mother sold everything they had to send him to this golf school. And it is fairy tale. It's absolutely fairy tale stuff that he stayed with this coach since he's been 13 or 14. He's now his caddy. They've never separated. He went on the first date with his wife. The caddy was the third wheel. It's their, it's the family. They travel everywhere together. And he's a hell of a golfer.
Yeah.
They made Whistling Straits look very, very ordinary. You know on Pete Dye courses that really good shots will be rewarded and really bad shots will be punished.
There were some great shots.
And there were great shots. And that's what you do. And even some bad shots, you made great recovery shots or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But to get to 20 under in a major, only two guys had ever done that, him and Woods. That's some elite company.
Yeah.
Only three guys have been 19. Add Jordan Spieth to that.
Mm-hmm.
So two of the three, Dave, have happened in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Spieth went 19 at Augusta back in April, and now Day went 19-20.
Mm-hmm.
Had a putt for 21, had a putt for eagle on 16 to get to 21.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
Well, and to go back to Jordan Spieth, adding into this.
He's 54 under par in the majors this year. I mean, that's
there was so much talk about Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth earlier this
so.
Year. Understandably. Because of majors.
Win.
I mean, these are winners. I don't want to stick Jason Day in there yet with just one, because you could just as easily throw Zach Johnson in there at this point in time. But here's another young guy, and there's about two or three others that you could argue maybe are going to, could fall into that same equation. And Jason Day's at least shown the ability to be included in that conversation.
Sure,
he's got to keep the winning up, but talent-wise and putting himself in position-wise, he's been there frequently.
He has, and that's the thing. Some guys gear their game for major championships. Some guys got me. Now he's got as many wins as Adam Scott, folks, in majors.
Yeah.
How do you want to count it up? Adam Scott was a prodigy from an early age as well. He's got one major championship, more tour victories. He's won more globally.
A lot longer too.
And he's been playing a lot longer. But the point of the matter is at 27, Adam Scott wasn't anywhere near a major championship, right? He won two years ago, 2012, let's see, Bubba won 13, 12? 12 majors? Yeah. Spieth won 15, Bubba won 14, Adam Scott won 13.
Right.
So that's how long it took Adam Scott. And what is he, 33, 4? So again, you get to that number. Phil wins at that number. Dustin Johnson's got enough scar tissue. No one's going to be surprised when Dustin Johnson wins a major. Right. It's not going to surprise you because he keeps – he's great. He's the only guy that's won on tour last 8 years in a row. I mean, those are things that you can't take away from a guy. You can dress a guy up in Puma. I'm not knocking Fowler. He's won three times in his career.
Well, it's easy to knock Fowler, and we should until he wins one of the big ones.
He won the Players this year.
That's
next level.
Absolutely.
He's won. That's great. He's put himself in that position. But, again, putting yourself in that position often and frequently, and then you have to do it enough times where you get a break that goes your way, where you take advantage and hit that shot you've been practicing your whole life to hit, or you're Jason Day or Jordan Spieth, and you steamroll the field because you're better.
Well, let me ask you a question. You mentioned it earlier. Most guys go through stretches of good and stretches of not so good. With Jordan Spieth, it's been an unbelievable stretch of good, but it's a short time frame here, too.
It is.
Is there anything that shows you that's not going to be a long term? Like Rory McIlroy goes through a little bit here and there, but he still always ends up in a big time spot.
McIlroy is more all or nothing because the ferocity hits a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
If he's a hair off, the ball's offline.
Mm-hmm.
But when he drives it down the middle, Spieth didn't beat him. Spieth's not going to beat him unless Spieth makes every putt. And to have to do that, well, that's a little tough to do. The problem with Spieth is he doesn't get himself in major problems. He's not offline. He's not over there in the Butler cabin area, 66 yards left to the fairway. And you haven't seen that from him. But as I've argued and talked about with multiple people here, when Spieth gets married, when Spieth has
the
children,
stuff, sure.
When Spieth gets divorced from his first love and his heart breaks,
right.
Does he hide in golf? Does he surround himself in this perfect family that he seems to have?
Mm-hmm.
Is he human or is he a golf machine? And that's the whole thing. When you grow up, things happen. Nobody thought Tiger Woods, when he had 13 majors at age 20, was ever going to stop winning majors. So to think that would, in my opinion, would be silly. But there's nothing golfing-wise. He doesn't have a weird swing. It puts stress on his knee or his back.
Right.
He just hits the ball and goes and finds it.
And mentally, I mean, he's stronger than anybody else out there right now.
And that's how they grow him up now.
Yeah.
And so that's he's a wonderful player, and so is Day, and so is McIlroy. That triumvirate can rule golf for the next 10 years, and no one will ever complain about Woods and McIlroy.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday, so tune in then. And remember, we got Reds baseball coming up here in just a few minutes, so don't go anywhere. You've been in the zone.